Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Gimel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, after bringing up Brice from the Academy of Shmuel, which used the wording of Lele for night, the Gemara asks why our Tanan didn't use the word Lele as well. The Gemara answers, Lishn Ma'al Yehuda Nakan. The Tanan used a refined expression. As Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught, Lo Lom Al Yotze Adam Dabra Magun Mafiv. A person should never emit a coarse expression from his mouth. For we see that the Torah deviated by adding eight letters so as not to express a davar maguna, as it says in the pasuk, mina behema tahor u mina behema asher enena tahor, from the animals that are tahor and from the animals that are not tahor. By writing that are not tahor rather than just tame, the Torah demonstrates the importance of refined speech. Rashi explains that the Gemara doesn't mean that the word night is coarse, but rather, just as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that one should not use a coarse expression, so too our Tanna used the word or, which is a nice way of saying the word night. Point number two, after the Gemara recorded a number of instances in which the Torah avoided using the word Tameh, the Gemara asks, Baraisa l'migo k'siv Tameh, and is the word Tameh not written in the Torah? The Gemara answers that wherever the coarse expression and its more refined substitute are equal in length, mishtoi b'lashon nekiyah, then Torah uses the more refined expression. And wherever the more refined expression is longer, mishtoi b'lashon katzar, the Torah uses the more concise expression. This is in accordance with that which was said in the name of Rav, and some say that Rav said in the name of Rabbi Meir, Lolom Yeshana Adam Talmido Derech Katsara. A person should always teach his Talmud in a concise manner. And point number three, the Gemara brings a number of incidents to demonstrate the importance of using refined language. There are three Kohanim who had each received a share of the Lechem Upanim. One said he received a portion the size of a bean. The second one said he received a portion the size of a kazais. The third one said he received a portion the size of a lizard's tail. They investigated the lineage of the third one, and they found a Shem Psul. A psul in his yichutz. The Gemara asks how an acting kohen could be investigated if he's unfit, since kohanim are checked for disqualifications in the yichutz before they serve, and offers two reasons. One answer is to say instead shachatz psul, meaning that he displayed some disqualifying arrogance. Since he disparaged the offerings when he spoke, he's unfit to serve. The second answer is that here his yichutz was checked again because he had compromised himself. Rashi explains that the way he spoke indicated that he had not been checked out properly in the first place, and therefore a new investigation was required. So once again, the three points are number one. After bringing up Bryce from the Academy of Shmuel, which used the word Lele for night, the Gemara asks why our Tana didn't use the word Lele as well. The Gemara answers, Lishna Ma'al Yehuda Naka. The Tana used a refined expression, as Rabbi Shuben Levi taught, Lolom Al Yotze Adam Davar Magun Mafiv. A person should never emit a coarse expression from his mouth. For we see the Torah deviated by adding eight letters so as not to express a Davar Magun, as it says in the Pasuk, Mina Behema HaTorah, Umina Behema Asher Enena Torah. From the animals that are tahor and from the animals that are not tahor. By writing that are not tahor rather than just tameh, the Torah demonstrates the importance of refined speech. Rashi explains that the Gemara doesn't mean that the word night is coarse, but rather that just as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that one shouldn't use a coarse expression, so too our Tana used the word or, which is a nice way of saying the word night. Point number two, after the Gemara recorded a number of instances in which the Torah avoided using the word tameh, the Gemara asks, Ubaraisa migo ksiv tameh, and is the word tameh not written in the Torah? The Gemara answers that wherever the coarse expression and its more refined substitute are equal in length, mishtoi b'lashon nekiyah, the Torah uses the more refined expression. And wherever the more refined expression is longer, mishtoi b'lashon katzar, the Torah uses the more concise expression. This is in accordance with that which was said in the name of Rav, and some say that Rav said it in the name of Rabbi Meir, Lolom Yeshana Adam Talmido Derech Katsara. A person should always teach his Talmud in a concise manner. And point number three, the Gemara brings a number of incidents to demonstrate the importance of using refined language. There were three Kohanim who had each received a share of the Lechem Upanim. One said he had received a portion the size of a bean. The second one said he received a portion the size of a kazayas. The third one said he received a portion the size of a lizard's tail. They investigated the lineage of the third one and found a Shemetz Psul, a Psul, in his Yichus. The Gemara asks how an acting Kohen could be investigated if he's unfit, since Kohanim are checked for disqualifications in the Yichus before they serve, and offers two reasons. One answer is to say, Shachatz Psul, meaning that he displayed some disqualifying arrogance. Since he disparaged the offerings when he spoke, he's unfit to serve. The second answer is that here his Yichus was checked again because he had compromised himself. Rashi explains that the way he spoke indicated that he had not been checked out properly in the first place, and therefore a new investigation was required. All right, so now we go to our Simon for Daf Gimel, and our standard Simon for Daf Gimel is a gamal, camel. So here goes. The camel ride trip in the not-tahor animal zoo, with the Rebbe who concisely called them tameh, was a great success, except for the kid who complained the box lunch they gave him looked like a lizard's tail. Once again, in slow motion. The camel ride trip camel, that must be more on Daf Gimel. The camel ride trip in the Not Tahor Animal Zoo, which reminds us that the reason the Tani used the word or instead of lele is Lishna Ma'alya who did not get. The Tani used a refined expression, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught, Lolomal Yotzi Adam Davar Magun Mafib. A person should never admit a coarse expression from his mouth, for we see that the Torah deviated by adding 8 letters so as not to express a Davar Magun, as it says in the Pasuk, Mina Behema Tahor, Umina Behema Asher Enena Tahor, from the animals that are Tahor and from the animals that are not Tahor. So the camel ride trip in the Not Tahor Animal Zoo, with the Rebbe who concisely called them Tamei, which reminds us that wherever a coarse expression and its more refined substitute are equal in length, Mishtar B'lash Nikiyah, the Torah uses the more refined expression. And wherever the more refined expression is longer, Mishtar B'lash Nikiyah, the Torah uses the more concise expression, which is in accordance with that which was said in the name of Rav, and some say that Rav said in the name of Rabbi Meir, Lohom Yoshana Adam V'Talmido Derech Katsara, a person should always teach his Talmud in a concise manner. So the camel ride trip in the Not Tahor Animal Zoo, with the Rebbe who concisely called them Tamei, was a great success, except for the kid who complained the box lunch they gave him looked like a lizard's tail, which reminds us of the incident with the Kohen who referred to his portion of the Lechem Panim as the size of a lizard's tail, and he was discovered to have a Shemitz Psul, a Psul in his Yichas. So once again, the camel ride trip in the Not Tahor Animal Zoo, with the Rebbe who concisely called them Tamei, was a great success, except for the kid who complained the box lunch they gave him looked like a lizard's tail. All right, now it's time for four blah bah chazara. Daf Kuf Gimel. So the symbol for Daf Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The famed Yerushalmi Kugel slicer. Yerushalmi Kugel. That must be more on Daf Kuf Gimel. The famed Yerushalmi Kugel slicer was also known to cut moist warts and dry warts by hand off of carbon, which reminds us. The Gemara notes a contradiction between the next Mishnah, which states, Choskin Yabelis B'Mikdash Avlo B'Medina. One may sever a wart from an animal with one's hand in the base of Mikdash, but not in the provinces. And the Tana Kama of Mishnah and Psachim regarding a carbon Pesach on Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos, it says, carrying it, referring to the carbon Pesach, to the base of Mikdash via Rishus Rabim, bringing it from outside the Tchum and cutting off its wart, are not Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chinin presented two different answers. One said that both Mishnahs were referring to a moist wart, but in our Mishnah it was removed by hand, which is permitted in the base of Mikdash, since it's an unusual method and therefore only the Rabbanan. Whereas in the Mishnah Psachim, it was removed by a kli, which is Aser v'Deraisa. The other one answered that both Mishnahs were referring to a case where the wart was removed by hand, but in the Mishnah from Psachim, the wart was moist, and in the Mishnah here, the wart was dry. A dry wart is no longer part of a living animal, and even removal with a kli is not Aser v'Deraisa. Our Mishnah forbids doing so because it bears a strong relationship to a malacha, and therefore was treated more stringently than other Rabbanans in the base of Migdash. So the famed Yerushalmi Kugel slicer was also known to cut moist warts and dry warts by hand off a carbon in the base of Migdash, but never outside, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef suggested that the two Mishnayos refer to the removal of a moist wart by hand, which is of the Rabbanan, Rishvus Migdash B'Migdash Yitiru, and rabbinic prohibitions that stand in the way base of Migdash procedures were permitted only inside the base of Migdash, but Shvus the Migdash B'Medina Lo Yitiru, rabbinic prohibitions that stand in the way of base of Migdash procedures were not permitted in the provinces. Therefore, the removal of the wart of the carbon Pesach that was examined outside the base of Migdash was not permitted. Rav Safta rejected this answer because in a Mishnah Psachim, we allow putting a carbon Pesach in the oven Erev Shabbos in violation of the Issur D'Rabbanan of Shehiyah, even though it's a Shvus B'Mikdash B'Medina, an Issur D'Rabbanan that is for the purpose of a carbon that is performed outside the base of Migdash. So the famed Yerushalmi Kugel slicer was also known to cut moist warts and dry warts by hand off a carbon in the base of Migdash, but never outside, cut his finger one time and needed to bandage it with reed grass. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kohen Shalaka Be'etzba'o, a Kohen who is wounded in his finger, Korech Alei Agemi B'Migdash Avlom Medina, may wrap reed grass over it in the base of Migdash, but not in the provinces. Rashi explains that placing the reed grass on the wound has a healing effect, and is therefore included in the Rabbanan prohibition of medical procedures. Rav Yehuda Breid Rechi explained the mission that only reed grass is mutter, but using a tzilzul katan, a small belt, is forbidden because it constitutes yitir begadim, in addition to the big deguna. Rav Yochanan said that additional begadim only invalidate the avoda when they are b'makam begadim, in the place of begadim, but since this is worn on the finger, it doesn't constitute an addition. Daf Kufdalet, so the symbol for Kufdalet is code. So here goes. The Kohen who figured out the code, that must be more on Daf Kufdalet. The Kohen who figured out the code in the sprinkled salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Bozki melcha gabi kevish bishvil shul yachliku. One may break up salt and scatter it on the ramp of the Mizbeach so that the Kohanim do not slip on it when it's wet from the rain. Rav Acha Breid Rav said to Rav Ashi, in what way was the salt scattered? Ida mevatle kamosi v'abinyan. If the one who scatters it intends to abandon it there permanently, he's adding to the construction of the Mizbeach. And this is forbidden, as David HaMelech stated, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad HaShem Ala Hiskiyo. It, referring to the specifications within the base of Migdash, is all in writing as it was elucidated to me from the hand of Hashem. And if he doesn't intend to abandon this all permanently, it will constitute a chetzitza between the feet of the Kohanim and the Mizbeach, which will invalidate the Avoda. After an initial answer is rejected, the Gemara explains that the salt was scattered b'halachas eitzim l'maracha d'labavodihi, for the purpose of bringing wood up the ramp of the Mizbeach, which is not an avoda. So the Kohen who figured out the code and the sprinkled salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach ran to a special door and knocked three times, which reminds us, Ula went to the home of Rav Menashe on Shabbos, and when someone knocked on the door, Ula said the person knocking should have his body desecrated because he was machal Shabbos. He was of the opinion that it's forbidden to produce any type of sound on Shabbos, even of a non-musical nature. Rabbah said to Ula, Lo'asu el kol shel shir. The Rabban did not ban every type of sound, only sounds of a musical nature. The Gemara brings several challenges to Rabbah's opinion, but each one is refuted. So the Kohen who figured out the code and the sprinkled salt on the ramp in the Mizbeach ran to a special door, knocked three times, and was handed a pair of wooden tongs to remove a dead sheretz from the base of Migdash. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Masechta states that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, sheretz shenimsa b'migdash, if a sheretz was found in the base of Migdash, Kohen motzil behemyanu shelo ushalu sesa tuma. A Kohen must remove it with his sash so as not to prolong the presence of tuma in the base of Migdash. Rashi explains that it's better to remove the tuma quickly, even though this will make the sash, which is kadosh, tameh. Rav Yehuda says, but tzva shel eit shelo rabas is the tuma. He must remove it with wooden tongs so as not to increase the tuma. Rashi explains that Rav Yehuda holds that the main consideration is to contain the tuma. Therefore, it's better to take time to find wooden tongs to remove the sheretz, because a wooden utensil without a receptacle is not makabel tuma. Daf Kuf Hei. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Hei is a hacker, and we use a Russian hacker. So here goes. The Russian hacker. Russian hacker. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Hei. The Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, HaKol Nichnasim BeHeichel Livnos L'Sakan L'Hotzias Tuma. Anyone may enter the Heichel to build, to make repairs, and to remove Tuma, a mitzvah b'kohanim. But preferably, Kohanim should do these tasks. Im Ein Sham Kohanim Nichnasim Levim. If there are no Kohanim, then even Levim may enter. Ein Sham Levim, Nichnasim Yisraelim. And if there are no Levim, then even Yisraelim may enter. The Gemara infers, Tohorim im, Tamein lo. Tahor people may enter, but Tamei people should not. Therefore, a Tahor Yisrael is better than a Tamei Kohen. Rav Huna said that Rav Kahana helped the Kohanim, for he had a brisa that taught that a Tamei Kohen is better than a Tahor Yisrael. Mitzvah b'tamimim, it's preferable that unblemished Kohanim enter to perform repairs. Im ein Sham Tamimim, Nichnasim Balimumim. If there are no unblemished Kohanim, then even blemished Kohanim should enter. Mitzvah b'tahorim, it's a mitzvah that Tahor Kohanim enter to do repairs. Ein sham tahorim niknasim tameim. If there are no Tahor Kohanim, then even Tamei Kohanim may enter. The Gemara infers that since the Braisa didn't mention Yisraelim, Kohanim im, Yisraelim well. Kohanim may enter, but Yisraelim may not. So the Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs was stumped when it came to the question of a Tamei Kohen versus a Kohen Balmum, which reminds us, the Gemara inquired, Tamei u'balmum ezeman nichnas. If only a Tamei Kohen and a blemished Kohen are available, which one should enter the Heichel to do repairs? Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, Tamei nichnas da ha'ishtri b'avodat tzibur. The Tamei Kohen should enter since he's permitted to perform communing the karbonos when the majority of Kohanim are Tamei, whereas a balmum may never bring a carbon. Balazar said, Balmum nichnas da ha'ishtri b'achil kachim. The balmum should enter for he can eat from karbonos, whereas a Tamei Kohen may not eat from them. So the Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs was stumped when it came to the question of a Tamei Kohen versus a Kohen Balmum. And then it suddenly became dark as he sat 50 namas away from the city's tchum. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon said, Makom she'atiru l'cho chachamim, mishalcha nasnu l'cha. Where the chachamim granted you a dispensation, they merely gave you what is rightfully yours. The Gemara asked what Rabbi Shimon was referring to and answers that he was referring back to the ruling he gave in the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis on the base regarding one who's overtaken by darkness while he's still outside the tchum of his destination. Rabbi Shimon said, Afil chamish yisrei amma yikanes. Even if he's 15 amas away from the city's tchum boundary, he may enter. For the surveyors who place the markers to delineate the city's tchum do not give full measure because of those who err. Rabbi Shimon's clarifying that this isn't a leniency in the restriction of tchum, but rather we're allowing him to use what is rightfully his anyway, since those extra 15 amas are actually within 2,000 amas of the city. So the Simfer Daf Beis is a bais, is a house. Here goes. The house, that must mean we're on Daf Beis. The house was filled with people searching for chametz with candles, which reminds us. The opening mission of the Masechta begins, Or la'abas are bot k'mis ha'chametz or aner. The night of the 14th of Nisan, we search for the chametz by the light of a candle. Rashi explains that the bidika is done so one does not transgress the prohibitions of bal yira or bal yamatzah. You may not see chametz in your possession, and you may not find chametz in your possession. The Gemara begins by asking, my or, what is the meaning of or? Rav Huna says, nage, it means light, which the Gemara presently understands to mean daytime. And Rav Yudah says, leila, it means night. Rashi explains that according to Rav Huna, one would begin the bidika when it begins to get light in the morning of the 14th. A candle is used because the sky is mostly dark at that time. The Gemara poses several challenges to each position. So the house is filled with people searching for chametz with candles, as the light of the stars shone brightly, which reminds us the Gemara challenged Rav Huna from the pasuk, ha'alu kochoch ve'or, praise him all the stars of or. This apparently means all the stars which appear at night, and therefore we see that or means night. The Gemara answers the pasuk means ha'alu kol kochavim ha'me'irim, praise him all the stars that give light. The Gemara adds that even the stars that do not give light should praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and explains that really all the stars do give light. Rather, the pasuk means to teach the or kochavim nami orhu, that the light of the stars is also called or. This is relevant in regard to if someone made a neder not to benefit from or, it would be forbidden to him to benefit from the light of the stars. So the house was filled with people searching for chametz with candles, as the light of the stars shone brightly over a king that danced joyously outside. Which reminds us, the Gemara challenged Rav Yehuda from the pasuk, "V'omer achoshek yushufeni, v'layla or ba'adeni." I had said, "Only darkness will shadow me," but the night became or around me. Rashi explains that David HaMelech thought that he would die in the darkness of his troubles, but then night became day for him, and his troubles disappeared. Since or is contrasted with night, it seemingly means day. The Gemara answers that what David HaMelech meant was, Ani amarti achoshek yushufeni l'olam haba. I had said, only darkness would shadow me in the world to come, shehu domo l'yom, which is analogous to day. Aksha b'olam hazeh, shehu domo l'layla or ba'adeni. But now, even in this world, which is analogous to night, has become light around me. Rashi explains that David expected it would be dark for him in olam haba because of his sin with Bathsheba. In the end, even olam hazeh became light for him, when it was shown that he was forgiven in front of his detractors when the doors of the Beis HaMikdash would not open until Shlomo HaMelech mentioned that they should open in the merit of David. Therefore, the meaning of the word or here does not mean day, but rather light. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus free bonus questions from Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which happened when the Rabbi Shimon was referring to the case of a person who was 15 amos outside the tchum when it gets dark, when he said that the Rabbanim are giving the person what is rightfully his? That's on Duff. Kufay in Erevan. Good. Number 2. Which of the one, if someone took a netter not to benefit from light, they would not be allowed to get hana from starlight? That's on Duff. Beis Mpsachim. Good. Number 3. Which of the one, Malchok is on how to remove a sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash? That's on Duff. Kuftalad. Good. Number 4. Which of the one, that the Torah goes out of its way to use a refined expression even though this means adding letters to the Torah? That's on Duff. Gimel Msachim. Good. Number 5. Which stopped with the case of breaking up salt and sprinkling it on the ramp of the Mizbeach, and we learned that it was for the purpose of bringing wood up for the Maracha. That's on Duff. Kuftalad. Good. Number 6. Which stopped when the David HaMelech felt that the night of Olam Hazed turned light when the Kodesh Baruch Hu demonstrated that he was forgiven. That's on Duff. Beis Msachim. Good. Number 7. Which stopped when the Rabbah said that the only sounds that were forbidden were those of a musical nature. That's on Duff. Kuftalad. Good. Number 8. Which of the one of the incident where Cohen's coarse expression led to the discovery of a psul in his yichus? That's on Duff. Gimel Msachim. Good. Number 9. Which of the balkos regarding who gets the din kadima for entering the heichol to do repairs, a Cohen that's tamei or one that's a balmum? That's on Duff. Kufhei. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we have a mission to teach that one may cut off a wart off an animal in the base of Migdash, but not in the Medina? That's on Duff. Kufgimel. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that Svarim written by meaning heretics are not saved in a fire? That's on Duff. Kufta Zayin and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn about the importance of being done with Chavschus? That's on Duff. Kufchav Zayin in Shabbos. Good. And number 3, which stuff do you want about Tzadik Baralo? That's on Duff. Zayin and Brachas. Great. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldberg from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.